For that one man's nutty religious zealot is another's heaven-bound role model. It's all here. The good, the bad, and the downright ugly. So far, we can still brag that the latter remains in the minority, though not having yet read today's paper, I cannot swear that statistic still holds. Our football teams have won Super Bowls. We've sent men off to the White House to lead the Western world, and we have damn good chili and chicken fried steak and an ample supply of locally brewed beer. Plus, country music icon Willie Nelson is ours, born and bred, not to mention Mr. McMurtry, who is, for my money, the best wordsmith the state has ever produced. What more to ask for? As a writer, I can think of nothing. Usually within a quick drive or short plane ride, I've sat down with an incredible variety of people and equally fascinating places, gathering information that has allowed me to introduce readers to someone or something of interest. Still, the battle to earn a living in a confined space goes on. New York publishers, many still convinced that fiddling contests and horse operas are the only thing playing down here in the Lone Star State, remain a hard sell. If I had a buck for every book proposal or story suggestion I've turned down because some tweety, pipe-smoking Easterner viewed it as too regional, I'd be loaning McMurtry money. For example, back in the mid-80s, following a lengthy career in newspaper journalism, I decided time had come to devote more effort to book-length projects. I knew only that I wanted to tell nonfiction stories that offered the widest range of human emotion possible. I hadn't a clue what that meant or where it might lead me, until an old high school and college buddy dropped by for a visit. Ned Butler was then a prosecutor in the McLennan County District Attorney's Office, preparing for the trial of a Waco man accused of the murder of three teenagers. As he sat on my patio that summer evening, telling the nightmarish story, it was not the details of the murders that particularly interested me. Rather, I was far more engrossed by his remarks about the shortened lives of the victims, how their devastated parents had dealt with the evil forces and unanswered questions that had invaded their once normal lives, the effect on law enforcement officers duty-bound to involve themselves in such an evil and troubling tale, investigating and seeking resolution and justice. The story had all the dramatic and emotional elements I was looking for, and New York editors could not have cared less. Almost without exception, their rejections included the polite but tired litany, too regional. Finally, having grown weary of the refrain, I fired off a response to the latest naysayer, summoning the same smart-mouth wit I'd used on the Chicago editor years earlier. "I wonder," I wrote, "just how many people in New York had heard of Holcomb, Kansas, before Truman Capote traveled there to gather material for his legendary and award-winning crime book, In Cold Blood." Of course, I got no reply. But eventually, I did get a contract with Taylor Publishing, a small Texas company based in Dallas that offered encouragement, a measure of enthusiasm, and even a small amount of advance money to help get me through what would be a 2-year project. I snapped it up and went to work. And in 1985, the hardback edition of Careless Whispers was published. It is appropriate, I suppose, that it was initially distributed primarily to Texas bookstores. But the sales were good, most reviews warm, and lo and behold, it was honored by the New York-based Mystery Writers of America as the year's best fact crime book, the same award that had been presented several years earlier to the Urbane Capote and his In Cold Blood. Suddenly, one of the same big-city publishing houses that had viewed the book as too regional was making a substantial offer to publish it in paperback. West Coast movie makers were calling. Foreign rights were being purchased. As this is written, Careless Whispers is celebrating its 25th year in print here in the U.S. and has been published in such faraway places as Germany and Japan. If you are prone to insomnia, you can still catch the rerun of the TV movie it spawned. In darker moments, I like to refer to it as my revenge of the regional writer. In kinder times, I see it only as a simple reminder that a good story, fact or fiction, can leap beyond all geographic boundaries.